That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, millennials. Welcome back to the Morning Toast. Happy Monday. Hope everyone had a fabulous, fantabulous, wonderful weekend. We did, of course, because we celebrated my birthday, and I actually rewatched our show from Friday, and I was like such a Debbie Downer.
I was trying.
But the birthday blues are very real. I think the birthday blues exist even when your birthday's outside of quarantine and like a national pandemic.
I agree. Did you wind up having a good birthday? Because I feel as though that you did.
So I had like such a fabulous evening. Like we just had low-key dinner at home, but it was so nice, and we got to see baby Mick, which like honestly, it's all that matters. Like, she was so fabulous, and she really made my birthday. And because it was my birthday, like, I got to hold her for the longest, when usually, like, we have to share. So it was really fabulous. And I ended up having, yes, a fabulous birthday. And
I'm
I was really
so glad.
You know, it's like, that's what we've been saying. It's like the pandemic and the quarantine has really taught us, like, what's important. And even though, yes, I would have loved to have, like, taken a trip to Vegas and, like, spent lots of money, at the end of the day, like, I feel like I had a great birthday because of what's important. That's family. And that's unfortunately not material items. But I made a huge mistake on my last week.
You did, and I think that you should clarify.
I made such a big mistake. Jackie and I were talking, I don't even remember what we were talking about, but we were just saying how, like, I'm really a person who values, like, experiences over material items. Like, if I have $500 and I could book a plane ticket or, like, buy a purse, I'll probably book a plane ticket. Like, I'm much more, I put value on, like, memories and stuff. And I realized that saying that the week of my birthday, when like the ones I love are shopping for a present for me, was really not probably the best thing to say or the best timing, because Ben had bought me a gift and thought about returning it to like book me a safari, you know, yeah, in a year. And also your friend Margo was like, I literally was going to get you a piece of jewelry, but like I heard you say it on the toast, and like I was thinking maybe I should like return it. I don't know why the fuck I said that. Like, it's true, but like obviously I still like gifts. I'm human.
It's also like right now, experiential things like aren't really an option.
Right.
And I definitely don't want a gift that's like, in a year we'll go here.
No.
Like, I want to know exactly what I'm doing and when. So unfortunately, like, material items are all we have in the queue.
It's so true. It's all we have.
Speaking of clarifications and purses, we were just discussing something that I think I would like to share with the class, because there's some.
But it's such an old thing. Like, I feel like there are people who watch our show now who might not have even heard you say
but
this.
But you know what? I want to bring it up because there have been a few times since I said it that it's like I should have, that I felt like I should have expanded on it.
No,
and I don't even know if I can really articulate what I'm trying to say, because it's more of a vibe. But
it haunts you.
And I just hope that maybe you guys will get some clarification. So let me just get right to it. A few weeks ago, I said on the show.
No, it was really like months ago.
No, it was Zoom. It was
during
the Zoom era.
Was it?
We were watching Real Housewives of New York. It's when they went to that big fancy house and they're
wearing. Joe Farrell.
They're wearing like their nice dresses, maxi dresses, etc. And a lot of the women were wearing crossbody bags. And I said, I made a really, I took a stance. And I said, there's a time and a place. I don't know if this is what I said, but this is what I feel. There's a time and a place for crossbody bags. And at Joe Farrell's house in a maxi dress, at a certain age, that's not the time. And then people like were like posting all these photos of me in crossbody bags. And like, that's what I'm saying. There's a time and a place. Like, sometimes you need to be hands-free. You need a crossbody. It's more of an athletic look. You need a crossbody. When you're college, hitting up the bars, you need a crossbody. Like, there are certain types of crossbodies. When you're wearing jeans and a leather jacket, you wear a crossbody. Like, there's a time and a place for a crossbody, and it's not in the Hamptons with a maxi dress at Joe Farrell's house, and that's all I was saying.
Okay, well, you said what you said.
I said what I said.
And now you must live with it.
Yeah. No, I just wanted to clear it up. If you're thinking about buying a crossbody, you definitely should. I have a few that I love. It's a great hands-free option. And there are some really nice ones out there.
But just, it's a time and a place thing, she says.
It's a time and a place thing. Do you disagree?
No, not at all.
You're the one who was out here calling it a bat mitzvah bag.
Did I say that?
Yes.
It is a bat mitzvah bag. That's a fabulous call.
Like, you're a little kid. You got to keep your things on you.
Yeah.
You know.
You need, like, your hairspray. Like,
it's a very practical option.
Very, very practical.
But sometimes, like, when you're at an event, a clutch.
Such as one of the biggest developers' houses in the Hamptons.
Yes. I just, like, the look of a maxi dress. And the crossbody just wasn't doing it for me.
By the way, that guy Joe Farrell has been in the news recently because he had like a party in the Hamptons where like a bunch of people got coronavirus.
Oh no.
And Ramona was there. But she claims her and Avery have antibodies.
Oh. Must
according
be nice.
To Ramona. Must be nice. I'm actually going to get tested again for antibodies after this because I'm just like, one, I'm bored and I have nothing to do. And two, like, I'm just hoping I'm one of those people. Like, that's not how life works out for me. I'm not just one of those people who like had it but didn't know and they had no symptoms. Like, no, if I were to get it, like, I would get it hard. That's just like my life. And I just keep praying that I'll go to the doctor and they'll be like, you had it for a day. You're cured.
Yeah.
But probably not. But it's worth a shot.
It's worth a shot. Good to keep tabs.
Always good to keep tabs.
So yeah, I guess now we can get into the news. I had a really great relaxing weekend. I read a lot and I finished Real Housewives of Potomac. I am ready for the season 5 premiere.
Is it, when does it premiere?
August 3rd.
Oh wow, that's like soon-ish.
Soon-ish.
Yeah, soon.
Yeah, pretty
three
soon.
Weeks. Mm-hmm. Well, that's fabulous. I mean, I had a fabulous weekend as well because I watched The Crown and, Ben was like, during the week, like, I can watch by myself, but Ben, like, wants to hang out on the weekends, and he doesn't watch The Crown. I made him watch one episode last night, and he was literally, like, so bored. It's so not his thing. It does, like, kind of slow down in season 2. It's, like, a little boring. And I just, you get so invested. Like, Prince Philip, like, sometimes I just love him, and I really want him and the Queen to, like, have this fabulous marriage. And sometimes I'm like, you are such a pussy. Like, you cannot... You don't support women. Like, you're so insecure. And same with Princess Margaret. Sometimes I'm like, you know what? She just wants love. And then sometimes I'm like, this girl is so out of control and has absolutely no grip on reality. And I agree with you. You were saying how it's like, it's just so crazy that like all these things actually happened. And like, no one knows about it. But like, if you watch A Crown, obviously you know about it. Like, I just finished the episode where like that guy wrote like a scathing critique of her and she invited him to the palace and like took his advice, which is like so something I would do. And I actually loved that. And like, that's just a crazy thing that happened, you know?
Yeah.
And how do they know all this stuff?
I think from account, like royal biographers, like private secretaries, like people writing tell-alls. And I think also eventually, like when it comes to things that happened so far in the past, I think The Crown is kind of open about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad that you're watching it and that you're enjoying it.
It's very educational. I feel very smart. And I keep walking around the house talking like this. And it's impossible to stop.
Is Theo liking it?
No.
No.
He's jealous of the other queen in the house. You know, he's like the number one queen.
He is.
Oh my God. I also, by the way, I got Jackie. This is not an ad, but I talk about it so much. I got Jackie and Zach hooked on the beverage that I take before bed, Some Sleep.
You did.
I took one last night. I had literally the most amazing dreams and I slept so good. I'm obsessed with this product. It's so genius because I've been having so much trouble sleeping in quarantine and it's really helped a
my
lot.
You've made my husband addicted.
No, truly. I know. He literally called me at 11 p.m. He's like itching. He's like,
can I get that song?
Can I get some cans? Can I come over? I'm like, yeah, sure, come. And he literally went to my house and got some sleep cans.
Yeah, no, he's truly addicted, but it's good stuff.
It's good stuff. So I've been sleeping actually really well. I slept a lot this weekend, which was fabulous.
Love to hear it.
And I have been really overusing the word fabulous. Like, I just can't stop.
I mean, it's pertinent to the situation, so what else are you expected to say?
Exactly. I'm reluctant to jump into the Fast Five because some of the stories are so fucking sad.
I agree.
But we are going to recap our movie of the week, which was The Color of Friendship, and we're going to assign our new movie, so that'll be at the TV recap segment, which I'm really excited to talk about.
I'm really excited to talk about The Color of Friendship.
So yeah, I guess.
I guess the sooner we jump in, the sooner we can jump out.
Yeah.
We have, obviously, some very sad news, but we also have some exciting news.
Okay.
So without further ado, it is time for the Fast Five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast.
Fabulous.
Fabulous. Okay, first story, very sad news to wake up to this morning. Kelly Preston dies of breast cancer at 57. Quote, she was a bright, beautiful, and loving soul. Quote, on the morning of July 12, 2020, Kelly Preston, adored wife and mother, passed away following a two-year battle with breast cancer, a family representative tells People exclusively. Choosing to keep her fight private, she had been undergoing medical treatment for some time, supported by her closest family and friends, the family rep says. She was a bright, beautiful, and loving soul who cared deeply about others and who brought life to everything she touched. Her family asks for your understanding of their need for privacy during this time. Preston is survived by her husband, John Travolta, and their children, daughter Ella, 20, and 9-year-old son Benjamin. Their son Jet died at age 16 in January 2009.
But that story was so crazy. And like, you just think like this family can't possibly go through any more like Suris. And here we are. I mean, I had no idea she was sick. Mm-hmm. And I just, I like love her. She's like,
I love her.
She's in like every movie that I love.
Yeah.
And to be honest, like I rolled over this morning, at like 7, and I wasn't supposed to wake up till like 8:30, and I saw the notification on my phone, and it jolted me, and I was up for the morning. Like, it was, oh, wow, just, it's so sad.
It's such a sad story. Obviously.
And shocking.
Yeah, shocking. I guess they had been keeping all of this private for 2 years. It's so sad.
It's so sad. Cancer's a little bitch. And
I mean, she was in the last song.
Oh, yeah. She was Miley's mom.
Yeah.
She's in everything.
What a Girl Wants is the iconic role that I can recall.
Oh, what I recall is that fabulous Gwyneth Paltrow movie where they're flight attendants.
Up in the air.
Up in the air.
But she plays the nice foot friend, right?
Well, yeah. She plays the one who, like, doesn't... she, like, gives up on the flight attendant stuff in, like, the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, she's not the cheater.
No, that's Christina Applegate.
Yeah.
An iconic film.
Wow.
No, she just has, like, a really accomplished, catalog. Fabulous career. And she has two beautiful children who it's just so sad. And I'm, like, really just, this is devastating. And this is just something, like, just, like, death sometimes just, like, blindsides you, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's, like, I haven't thought about Kelly Preston in so long. Like, she's been going through this difficult time.
Yeah.
Terrible.
Terrible. Well, we're thinking of her family.
Yeah.
Praying for them. Also, an update in the Naya Rivera story. Naya Rivera's text to a relative may provide crucial clue about her final moments. Hmm. The missing Glee actress Naya Rivera sent a photo to a relative shortly before vanishing on a Southern California lake that may provide an important clue about her final moments, according to a report. Rivera took a photo of her 4-year-old son, Josie, near a cove on Lake Piru about 90 minutes to 2 hours before he was found alone on a rented boat, Us Weekly reported.
Oh, damn.
Quote, we found where that cove was, Robert Inglis of the Ventura County Sheriff's Office search and rescue team told the outlet. Search crews used the background of the photo and the place where the boat was located to help zero in on where the actress might have gone missing, Inglis said. Quote, we did send our dive members to those two locations and search those extensively, he told the outlet. He added that in many cases, there are witnesses who see someone jumping off a boat, so we know which area to search and we can find the body more quickly. But authorities said there are no witnesses in Rivera's case.
There are so many things about this story that, like, are freaking me out. The first is, like, it's a lake. I mean, I guess it's big, but I feel like it shouldn't be that hard to find her if she's in there. You know what I mean?
Well, from what we said, what we reported on last week, there's a lot of matter in the lake. I think, like, probably, I don't know, nature stuff, mm-hmm. where it's hard even for the divers. They can't just, like,
swim through.
They have to be really careful, and I think it slows down the process.
And then the other thing that's so devastating about this whole story, aside from the fact that, like, it's just, like, the craziest thing ever, is I feel like the media is so out of control. Like, I have seen the most invasive paparazzi pictures of her husband and her mom. Like, it's so fucking rude and disrespectful. And it really, like, blows my mind. Like, just when you think, like, the media can't get any lower and, like, less caring of humanity. Like, I just see these pictures of her mom on a dock sobbing. Like, leave this fucking woman alone. She's not famous. She's going through such a hard time. I saw her ex-husband is being paparazzied in, like, private moments. It's so fucking rude. And the kid too. It's like, stop. Where do we draw the line?
That's so sick.
It reminds me of when Bethany was burying Dennis, and literally a few paparazzi followed her to the burial, which was a private burial, and they have these pictures of her sobbing, and it's just, it's awful, and it makes it, like, an already tough situation, like, even more tough, and even it's such an invasion of privacy, and it's so disrespectful.
It's so disrespectful. I really would have hoped that as a society we were, like, past evolved. That haven't seen those photos. That's so disappointing to hear and not acceptable.
We're not evolved. But and, like, people, like, just fans of Glee and just fans of Naya are, like, trying to organize, like, search parties themselves mm-hmm. on foot, which is so dangerous because it's obviously, like, a tumultuous lake, and, like, you don't want to make it more difficult for first responders. So if you are thinking about going, I would suggest not.
Oh, I didn't realize that was being discouraged.
Well, and now, like the local sheriff's departments are encouraging people to please stay home, like, because it makes it worse.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay, well, we'll keep you posted on the story. Still praying for a miracle.
praying for a miracle.
Okay. Into some exciting news. The new Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue 2020 is here. And we have our cover girls.
Multiple.
Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
Kate Bock, Jasmine Sanders, a.k.a. Golden Barbie, who we stan and love.
Stan.
And Olivia Culpo. You guys, she did it.
She did it. I mean, this is like a very Instagram-friendly cover, and I feel
these
like that was
Instagram
the vibe.
Instagram girls.
These are like, this is the Sports Illustrated digital, like, Instagram edition, and it's so fabulous, and I think it's, I'm, like, so happy for Olivia Culpo and these other girls. I just think, I mean, they look sickening. So they each have their own individual covers, and then there's a cover of the three of them, which is kind of, like, the one that's going around. But it's just, it's so exciting. I mean, devastating and shocked that it wasn't me, but again.
There's always next year.
You said it, sis.
You know? If you haven't seen the cover yet, Google it, check it out, because it's really, like, these are the snatchers. I also weirdly love the bathing suits that they're wearing. I feel like Sports Illustrated isn't usually about the bathing suits themselves, but I just love every cut of each of them. I love how they work together, and I really like the cover.
You know, Sports Illustrated...
I haven't heard other people's opinions yet, so I don't know if it's, like, a good cover.
I didn't even hear about it.
I know. I just, when I was looking for stories, I saw it, and they were like, Olivia Culpo shares the cover, and then I went to her Instagram.
And there's nothing there.
I have push notifications. No, I'm kidding. but there was nothing there. So I can't believe I didn't see it, but I'm glad that we're seeing it because it's always exciting. The cover is always exciting.
No, and there's so much Sports Illustrated news happening this weekend because they announced one of their first transgender models, Valentina Sampaio, which I don't know if she's related to the other two Sampaios, but there's so many Sampaios
in the industry.
Yeah. And I don't think any of them are related, which is so funny. And I love Sports Illustrated. I honestly only have good things to say about them as a brand. And, you know, it's not the same, but I can't help but compare them to Victoria's Secret, which is literally doing, like, the least at all times. And it's just, like, the least empowering place for women. And I feel like Sports Illustrated does everything right. And this is a fabulous cover, fabulous things coming out of Sports Illustrated. And we have absolutely no choice but to stand, respect, and support.
Yes. So a few of the details. Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue just revealed their 2020 cover starring Olivia Culpo, Jasmine Sanders, and Kate Bock. Former Miss Universe Culpo, who's been shacked up with her boyfriend, Carolina Panthers running back Christian McCaffrey in Colorado, but now they moved back to LA, and at one point his mom was there, but now she went back home because she posted yesterday that she missed her quarantine crew. Also, Christian and Olivia got a dog, so, like,
they're making committed. Steps.
They're in this for the long haul. She said she popped champagne and got a little emotional when she heard the news that she landed the cover. Quote, "This is still so exciting for me," the 28-year-old influencer who's been in the mag 3 years in a row tells The Post. "I created a vision board years ago to get into the magazine. Scoring a spot on the cover, which was shot in Bali by photographer Yutsai back in November, is likely also a dream come true for Sanders." Also, if you saw Model Squad, you knew that, like, Olivia's first time shooting with Yutsai was just not
traumatic.
It was quite traumatic. So she's really come so far.
I mean, you know, I really hope that they do one of those reveal videos where we get to see, like, Olivia, Jasmine, everyone's reaction to them getting on the cover. Because honestly, like, that video of Camille Kostick finding out that she was on the cover is, like, one of my favorite things. I could watch it, like, a million times. And it's so cute. And it's, like, so many of these girls' is, like, biggest dreams coming true. And I love those, like, reveal videos. So even though we're in quarantine, like, I really hope we get reveal videos.
I hope so, too. Also, interesting factoid, Jasmine Sanders, who goes by Golden Barbie, she said that she didn't make the cut for the Victoria's Secret Fashion Show in 2018.
Big mistake.
But she was 2019 SI Swimsuit Rookie of the Year, and now she graces the front page. So it goes back to what you said, like, one of these things is it and the other ain't, and I'm happy to see it.
One of these things is whatever you just said was perfect.
I thought it was actually, like, not eloquent at all.
One
but
of these
it
things
rests.
Is it.
It and the other isn't.
So true. I mean, that, like, put it on my tombstone, bury me.
Yeah. So this is just, like, this is always exciting.
No, that's really cute. I really like all these girls, and I'm really happy for them.
Yeah, and I feel as though, like, being on the cover of Sports Illustrated is a big deal, and, mm-hmm. you know, will open a lot of doors. So
of
I'm
course.
Excited to see where these three go, like, how right. they can take their stars to even new heights, you know?
What is your favorite Sports Illustrated cover, like, in recent memory?
I love the Kate Upton cover.
Me too.
Because I just love those titties.
I love those titties. Like, not to objectify her. I know she's so much more than that. She is a model. She's a mom. She's an entrepreneur. But, like, she, like...
Well, it's also because, like, she has very large natural breasts, like, which we both do.
Mm-hmm.
And
I see myself in her breasts.
Yeah. I mean, I love this cover. I don't see myself in this cover.
No.
In 2020, but, like, I saw a bit of myself in that cover.
And she did it not once but twice.
Yeah.
But that one where, like, her boobs are, like, literally falling out of the bathing suit, like, that's the best one.
Yeah.
I also like that Hannah Davis Jeter one where like her vagina's out.
Yeah.
Also fabulous.
Yeah. I mean, it's always a good cover.
Always. This is no exception. Oh, also the Chrissy Teigen Nina Agdal one is also fabulous.
Yeah.
There's a third person in there but I can't remember.
Yeah.
Maybe. But it's like everyone in there like tushies.
True. Perhaps like this is like the 2020 version of that.
Right.
And now these girls will just be skyrocketed. Even though to me, like, these are the biggest stars in the world. Olivia Colman and Jasmine Sanders.
But I'm really happy for her.
I'm happy for all of them.
Before we dive into the fifth and final, is that what we're up to?
No, to the fourth and 40th.
Oh, wow. That was like so fast.
Well, slow if you thought.
Whatever. May I?
Please.
For all of our sakes, we need to avoid crowds any way we can right now. But what if you need to go to the post office? What if you need postage to send out letters and packages? Don't worry, Stamps.com is here to help. With Stamps.com, you can print postage on demand and skip those lines and crowds at the post office. Plus, you can actually save some money with discounts that you can't even get at the post office. And if that wasn't enough, Stamps.com also offers UPS services with discounts up to 62% off and no UPS residential surcharges. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Postal Service right to your computer in the safety and comfort of your own home, office, or anywhere else you are hunkering down right now. Whether you're a small business sending out invoices, an online seller shipping out products, or you're just working from home and need to mail stuff, Stamps.com can handle it all with ease. And of course, during quarantine, we should all be staying in as much as possible. But I think even after quarantine, nobody really wants to go to the post office. So Stamps.com is an absolute staple in your portfolio. Simply use your computer to print official U.S. postage 24/7 for any letter, any package, any class of mail, anywhere you want to send. Once your mail is ready, just leave it for your mail carrier, schedule a free package pickup, or drop it in the mailbox. No human contact is required. It's that simple. And like we said, with Stamps.com, you can get great discounts too. 5 cents off of every first-class stamp and up to 62% off shipping rates. Stamps.com is a no-brainer, especially now, saving you time and money and keeping you safe during these crazy times. Right now, our listeners will get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in toast. Again, that's Stamps.com. Click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in toast for a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale without any long-term commitment. Stay safe, everyone, with Stamps.com.
Love it. Okay, fourth story, a little happy couple news. Brooklyn Beckham is engaged to girlfriend, now fiance, Nicola Peltz.
This is crazy.
The happy couple confirmed their exciting news in a pair of matching social media posts on Saturday, hours after reports about their engagement first began circulating online. Quote, 2 weeks ago, I asked my soulmate to marry me, and she said yes, Brooklyn wrote alongside a romantic engagement snap of the pair, which also showed off the Transformers actress's stunning diamond sparkler. He said, I'm the luckiest man in the world. I promise to be the best husband and the best daddy one day. I love you, baby. XX.
How old are they?
I know. That's exactly what I was looking for. Oh, he's 21.
Okay.
And she is 25.
Okay. I mean, I guess that's not that crazy. Like, Ben and I were 21 and 23.
I thought they were, so like, 18 years old.
But to me, like, they are.
Yeah, but they're not. And you know what? I saw this and then I really went down a rabbit hole of stalking them because they're a couple. I honestly wasn't aware that they were even dating.
Yeah.
To be quite honest, the only real thought I have about her is like when Bella Thorne said that like she was a mean girl and did that whole interview about her. And like,
yes.
I can't get that out of my head.
Yes.
But then I started to go down this rabbit hole and like they live a very like fabulous, happy life together.
Well, that's the thing. It's like they're so fabulous. And I think the reason why everyone, ourselves included, like regards them as such children, it's because they're both just like famous people's kids.
Yeah.
So obviously
they're just like professional kids.
Brooklyn is Victoria and David Beckham's kid, and Nicola Peltz's dad is like some rich man who, oh my, there is a fire alarm. Do you think there's a fire in the building?
Oh my God.
This is bringing me back to the morning breath days. Remember when this used to happen all the time?
No, and this also used to happen at the beginning of the toast when we were burned toast.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're fine. Nobody seems to be alarmed in the hallway.
We'll let you know if we start to smell something or something.
But I think we're fine. Nobody, like everyone else would be running out of there.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Okay.
I don't know. This is like a new building for us. I don't know if like these are things that happen all the time.
Yeah.
Is this something to be taken seriously?
I feel like it's fine.
Okay.
Brooklyn and Nicola. So they're both like professional kids. Like they're just like stars of hot. Like, of course, yes, I guess you could say they're accomplished in their own way. But at the end of the day, they're just like famous people's kids. And that's why I think of them as like just like permanent 15-year-olds.
Yes, but they are older, mm-hmm. and the stalking that I did was really enjoyable. I think I even gave her a follow because it was premium content, great flow. She has, like, they're just, like, very, The word's not really Tumblr-y anymore, but they are very, like, they have a, like, aesthetic about
Boho
them.
Boho vibe.
You know, I just feel like, oh my God, they're
There's
talking.
An announcement.
Like, don't you know that Brooklyn and Nicola just got engaged?
What are they saying?
Oh God, what are they saying?
I feel like he's saying it's a test.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like an emergency
he
voice.
He doesn't have a real urgency
he
in his voice.
He sounds quite relaxed.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's fine. He honestly sounds kind of cute. I wonder if he's single for Snitch.
Oh my God. Okay, well, this engagement suite, I can't wait. The dress that she was wearing, by the way, the picture that they posted is just so, like, glamorous. So stunning. I believe the dress is Victoria Beckham, which gives me hope that her wedding dress will be by Victoria Beckham.
Oh my God, that's so crazy.
Which just, like, I love.
Yeah, that's just, like, a fabulous family to marry into.
The whole thing is beyond fabulous. Like,
it oozes fabulosity.
It's honestly, like, too fabulous for us.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed.
Fifth and final story, a little sad couple news. A couple I'd forgotten about. But I did have a ship in them for the port, and now I have to break down. Bill Hader and Rachel Bilson have reportedly split.
I wasn't, like, dying for them. I'm not going to lie.
I just, like, I liked it. I didn't think about it again. I don't think I felt, like, so confident that, like, they were going to go the distance, but I was hopeful.
Like, to me, Bill Hader's just not, like, it.
Then you obviously haven't seen Trainwreck enough
times. No, I haven't. Like, that movie did wonders for him, but it didn't take him all the way for me.
I just, like, she's so cute and cool and everything of the sort.
Yes.
And, like, so I just liked, you know, it was mismatched pair. It's just cute. He's obviously funny. He's attractive.
Okay, I would not say that.
I don't know. His insides are attractive.
Yes, of course.
Though they just made their red carpet debut as a couple just 7 months ago. They are now Splitsville. They're telling People magazine. Multiple sources told People that the split was amicable, though reps are remaining mum on the issue. Oh, well, I'm tongue-tied. I'm so devastated over this. I read in a different article that, like, she was devastated by the news.
Really?
Yeah, I did, actually.
Is he a heartbreaker?
I kind of feel like
Bill
he could
heartbreaker?
Be. I kind of feel like he could be. Don't you feel that?
No.
I feel that.
I don't see him in the way that you do.
No, I don't see him at all.
Even though him in that movie Trainwreck, like, really was sensational.
Right?
Like, he was
like,
so cute.
You know,
and he was like the catch.
LeBron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, those were the past five stories.
And you did need to know them.
And they were pretty fast.
They were pretty fast. We were pretty expeditious about it.
Now our TV recap segment. We are going to be recapping The Color of Friendship, which was our toast movie of the week. And boy, am I glad that we chose it.
Boy, am I glad that we chose it, that we watched it. It was so much better than I remember. I barely remember it. It came out in the year 2000, so 20 years ago I saw it.
I was 6 years old.
I was 8 years old. And better than I expected. So much better than I expected when I was like, oh, I'm going to watch, like, the Disney Channel movie that's about race.
You know, DCOMs really don't age well. Like, I recently watched Smart House, and it was a piece of shit.
I'm sure, yeah, Smart House, like, now it's like, that's actually a dumb house.
No, it's like, Pat is nothing compared to Siri.
Right. But I had forgotten, really, aside from that they were exchange students living together, I forgot the premise of the movie where it's, like, set in 1977.
Mm-hmm. Where this, like, crisis, apartheid in South Africa is happening.
Right. I didn't realize, like, the political context surrounding it. And then I also must have forgotten that's a true story.
Of course. I also must have forgotten, to me, which was the most shocking moment of the entire movie, is that they say the N-word.
Twice.
On Disney Channel? There's
on
no
Disney
way
Channel.
that played, like, during our time.
But, like, that's the movie that was made and was made for TV.
Right.
And
I honestly couldn't believe it.
I was really shocked. They went there.
They went, like, you know what?
There was a few times when I was watching it, I was like, wow, they're going there.
They're going there. I mean, that girl, Maury, who came from South Africa, like, she was out of control and she was insane. And, like, when she hopped off the plane and she thought that the people picking her up was, like, with, like, the staff, and she, like, ordered them to go get her bags, like, my jaw hit the floor. But you know what? I feel like it's actually... It was a perfect movie to watch because I think it hits on exactly what we've been saying. Like, even though that girl Maury was, like, cringy and stuff, like, she wasn't evil. She was just, like, a victim of circumstance. Like, that's just how she was raised. And it's, like, it was, like, I almost felt bad for her.
Yeah, and also, the best character in the movie is the mom.
The mom, agreed.
She's fabulous. And, like, she's not giving up on anyone. And, like, I feel like for maybe Piper and the congressman, when they met Maury, they would have just sent her packing, like, this girl is a lost cause. But the mother really, like, recognized that, you know, she's...
merely a victim.
Like, exactly.
Well, and I wouldn't go that far.
Not a victim, but, like, she's just a kid,
yeah.
You know? And she gives her... the grace, like, she doesn't just cancel her.
She gives her the benefit of the doubt.
She gives her the benefit of the doubt, and she's like, we're going to show you, like, that you're wrong about some of the things that you think and that you think that you know. And she's completely right about that.
Yeah, totally. No, I 100% agree that the mom was the most fabulous character. She was just like warm and inviting and gracious. And the congressman was all about business and he didn't really have time to invest in Maury, which I understand.
No.
He was busy.
But then that pivotal scene with the books and he's just like being such a dad.
Yeah.
And it was so cute. And by the way, that book, Roots, sounds really good. There was a lot of like good books recommendations in the movie. The whole movie just felt so timely. I couldn't believe it was a Disney Channel movie. I watched it not realizing it was a true story. And at the end, they talk about the real congressman. So right. I did some research. Piper really, this is the story of Piper's, a part of her life.
I had no idea that it was a true story.
Makes which is, it even better.
Which is so crazy. And I always say like part of the reason I've loved the movies that we've been watching during Toast Movie of the Week is like if a movie ends with like black and white text, like that is the true benchmark of a fabulous movie. And I wasn't expecting to see text on a DCOM.
No,
but
me
when
either.
When it all said in that it was real, like I knew the apartheid, like that was obviously real.
Yes.
I thought it was just like a creative take on how to explain like apartheid to kids. But it really was a true story. And like I was shook.
Yeah, I was really shook. I thought it was so, so good. I really hope that you guys watched it along with us. Because it was so powerful.
I hope if you have kids or younger siblings, like it really is very accessible. Like I feel like it was so well done. But yes, by the way, like there were a few moments when I'm like, did she really just say that? Like when they were still in South Africa and Flora was talking about
the bird.
Flora, the housekeeper, was talking about the bird. And she was like, it was like, why can't people be like that? And then Maury was like, they're birds, not people. The things you say sometimes, Flora, like so fucking nasty, so nasty and so rude. Like Maury, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce her name.
Maury,
like she really needed a reality check. And like the movie couldn't have come at a better time for her.
No, it couldn't have. And like when she comes home and she has the flag sewn into her vest, like beautiful.
And Flora knew that like this trip changed everything for her.
Yeah. Flora was the only one who knew what was about to happen because like she knew the
she
players.
Recognized the yeah. congressman's name.
Yeah.
It was a really, really good movie. I loved it. And like parts of it were like honestly like really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
But I think that's a benchmark of a good movie when talking about racism.
Yeah. It's going to get uncomfortable.
It's going to get uncomfortable. It was fabulous.
It was really, really good. I was really so
impressed
and surprised because I didn't remember it being like such like the historical context. Everything about it was so well done. And
totally agreed. I mean, it was meant to be in the 70s, and I don't know when it was actually filmed, but it was
2000.
It was at points like the acting was so bad, and it was very like school after school special, like PSA. Like it was cringy at times, like with some of the outfits and like the movie montage of them in the mall dancing.
Yeah.
But I was able to look past that because it was just a fabulous movie.
Yes.
And it's on Disney Plus. Like, it's so easy. I really encourage everyone to watch it if you haven't watched it yet.
Yes, I agree. And I agree there were some, like, you know, cringy Disney moments.
Yeah.
But we stan.
Thus far, what has been your favorite movie that we watched?
Ooh, great question. I think it has to be Just Mercy.
I was going to say, there's two. Like, either the one that I think impacted me the most and, like, will forever have changed how I see the world is Just Mercy. But entertainment-wise, like, I loved Hidden Figures.
Oh, I mean, of course.
Yeah.
Of course. But I had already seen it and you hadn't, so I probably would have said that. But that's just, like, in my catalog of favorite movies ever.
And then with our next movie, I think that I think I actually have seen this movie like maybe 20 years ago.
I don't know if I've seen it. If I saw it, it was at a time when I was like too young to remember what I was watching. So it will be like I'm watching a new movie.
Right. We're going to watch Remember the Titans, which I'm excited about. It's a nice football themed movie. So maybe your husbands will want to watch it with you if you have a husband. And that's all she wrote.
That's all she wrote. Yeah. Her hand's tired. I guess it's like Monday and she's feeling
I feel that.
Some type of way.
Well, I'm going to go get tested for COVID antibodies. Like everyone cross your fingers and just like pray that I have them.
I mean, we're praying.
Thank you. And that's all she wrote. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we go live Monday through Friday, 10:30 a.m. Eastern time. Oh, wait, no, sorry. Whatever. You know what happens. We need to rewrite that.
Okay. Thank you guys so much for listening to the Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we give you a show sometime before.
Okay, wait, I got it. Wait. Thank you guys so much for listening to The Morning Toast, the Millennial Morning Show, where we deliver the fast five stories that you need to know before you wake up and take a bite out of your morning toast every day, Monday through Friday. We're also available as a podcast. Wait, no, Monday through Friday on YouTube. We're also available as a podcast anywhere podcasts can be found. So that's Spotify, iTunes, Stitcher, Public Radio, iHeartRadio, CastBox, all the places wherever you listen to podcasts, find us The Morning Toast. And please leave a five-star review about how beautiful, stunning, and smart we are. Thank you to everyone who tagged me in your Instagram stories over the weekend, celebrating my birthday by watching my comedy special. That was really beautiful of you. Claudia?
That's beautiful.
The special is available for purchase or streaming on so many platforms.
You guys, do yourselves a favor. Give yourself the gift of Disgrace Queen. Like, it'll just turn your frown upside down.
If you go to my Instagrams.
Curly ones.
If you go to my Instagram, there's a highlight called Disgrace Queen. It has links to all the places you could buy it, rent it, stream it, the comedy album, or the video. And I hope you guys enjoy it. And thank you so much for all the kind words so far. It truly, like, nothing feels as good than when someone compliments your comedy. And you know what? When people, like, diss your comedy, it really doesn't hurt.
Yeah, because it's like Jerry Seinfeld says, comedy is more personal than food, which took me a few years to understand. But now that I do, I'm going to reference it all the time.
No, it's so true. And, like, honestly, like, someone, like, wrote me a nasty tweet, like, this special was so dumb. Like, really, like saying it was so offensive, which is so crazy because, like, my comedy is literally, like, the least offensive stuff ever. And I was like, you know what? It did bother me. Whereas, like, criticism usually, like, literally, like, kills me. I was like, that's fine.
Comedy's more personal than food, bro.
Comedy is more personal than food. But if you're, like, funny and cool and, like, normal, you'll love the special. So don't worry about it.
Okay. Well, we shall see you tomorrow. If you're looking for more content right now, you're like, dang, that show is short. I miss my girls.
Dang. I'm so upset.
Dang, Flabbit. Head over to patreon.com/morningtoast. We have tons of content. I was even thinking of, like, some of the videos we've done in the past. Like, fabulous. There is so much stuff there. A year ago this month, I did my closet revamp with Imagine It Done. Like, literally, if some people said it was their favorite video, you can learn how to fold a pair of underwear. Just, like, really fabulous content. We have
the things you need to know.
Every steamy home tour. We're going to do the chili kickoff this month. I hope Ben is aware.
He's prepared.
And he's ready. And he's gearing up.
Yeah, he's ready. I mean, he's been talking smack pretty much all week.
Damn. Okay. Well, anyways, there's so much content over there. So head over, enjoy patreon.com/themorningtoast. And we shall see you tomorrow. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.